One word you'll never hear me using again, and that word is am. It was a terrible mistake. I shouldn't have done this. I tried to, you may have heard on the Overnightscape Underground recently, I did a show that was a stand-in for Brian Jude. I did a Brian Jude show that was mostly the real me talking as my real self. Now, usually when I'm talking in character, as I usually do, I start loads of sentences with whenever I stumble, I go, but I made a conscious decision on the Brian Jude show to go, instead of, whenever I felt so inclined. Well, I came out sounding fake. It sounded like I was doing an impersonation of Brian Jude, in fact, because Brian says all the time. It's an important distinction. Do you go or do you go or do you just ignore what comes out and come out naturally, like I did just now, and it came out as so apparently the normal, natural me who's not in character is closer than I thought to the characterised me who goes a lot. Apparently I go a lot all the time. So that's a mistake. That's a mistake I won't be making again. There'll be no more from me. No more hamming it up by going that's what Brian would call it. He'd say hamming it up, because he's an actor, he's a theatrical person. They say things like that in theatres. They say you're hamming it up, they say break a leg, they say get a hole in your skull. It's all meant in jest and in good humour. They'll say get a break your leg, get a fatal injury to your neck, lose your wallet somewhere, get a more cats than you can handle. That's all it's all about. You see, these are the sort of people who work with each other, like as Brian does with people in theatres, and they know each other and they're friends. They can say what they want to each other. They don't have to. They don't have to worry about offending people. Brian could go up to someone in the theatre and say, "You're a scumbag. I hope you catch AIDS and die, and I hope you fall off a cliff, and I hope the next president of the United States outlaws you specifically, not just people like you. You specifically." By name. I hope someone runs you over with a car and then reverses back over you, and I hope they get away with it. And if they'll know when they hear Brian saying that to them, people will know that he's just being friendly. He's saying it in jest. Where you take it too far is if you say it to someone who you don't know very well. For example, if I was to go up to someone in the street and say, "Hello, I see you're crossing the road there. I want to wish you good luck with that, but I'm going to put it in a humorous way. I'll say, I hope that car down there comes up here and stops just before it gets to you, and then someone gets out with a machine gun and points it into your face and shoots. And then I hope the ground opens up beneath you and you go straight down into hell, not just your soul, your actual body, so that Satan can torture your body. Which will probably be more painful than your soul." No, you wouldn't say that to a stranger in the street, because they wouldn't, they don't know you, and they wouldn't be familiar with you. You haven't established a rapport, that's the thing. You can't just establish a rapport automatically. It's something that, if you ring some sort of secret organisation, and you wear a badge or something so people will recognise you. Maybe if you bump into someone from the same organisation who you don't necessarily know on a personal basis, you can be a bit more familiar than that. But no, usually people know where to draw the line. The people come up and they'll say, "Hello, do you mind if I ask you a question?" And you'll reply, "No, not at all, I don't mind at all. Do you mind if I walk away and ignore you?" And they'll say, "Actually, I'd be a little offended if you did that." And then you'll say, "Okay, I won't do that, so I'm glad we had this little chat in advance. Anyway, go ahead, what were you going to ask me?" And they'll say, "Have you ever wondered what would happen if oh, if the horizon were to be moved closer to this town here, let's say, just for argument's sake, let's say I was elected town councillor and I set a new rule saying the town horizon was to be only a mile from the town at all times, in all directions. What do you think would happen? Then you'll reply to them, you'll say. That's an excellent question. Well done. Frankly, if you're running for town councillor, I really think you should have an answer to that prepared for that. You should be able to tell me what would happen and not be just asking me questions. Although maybe you're just trying to stimulate an intellectual debate. But I suspect you're trying. Are you trying to sell me something? Are you trying to sell me one of these sunblocks that cost €1,800 a litre now in the shop? You go into the shop and you say, "Hello, I don't want to die of skin cancer. Can you sell me something that I can rub on my skin that'll stop the sun from eating my body and rotting me down into a fine dust every time I go out to empty the bins and put clothes on the line?" And they'll say, "I certainly can. How much is your life worth to you? Because this bottle cost €852. And it's further, I'm sure you wouldn't put a price on the safety and health of your children. So here's the children's version. It's a special kids' version. Kids are afraid of large quantities. So it's a very small quantity in a small bottle. But it's the same price. And it's got nice colours on it. I can sell that to you for €800. For a special offer today, you can buy two of them for the same price as one. So it'll be €800 each, which is a total of €1,600. And you'll say, "That's great." They'll say, "Thanks very much. Do you have a loyalty card?" And then you'll take out your wallet and you flick through your various loyalty cards from different shops and you'll accidentally hand them the wrong one. They'll say, "That's not the right loyalty card." And you'll say, "Sorry about that. As you can see, I'm loyal to a lot of different shops. I'm loyal to my two local branches of Super Value, which are owned by different people. I'm loyal to Tesco, where I shop online. I'm loyal to Super Quinn because I bought something off them once, and every time they send me my vouchers, I buy something with the vouchers and spend €1 and clock up another voucher 3 months later. The only reason I shop there is because you get a discount off the parking in that mall when you shop at Super Quinn. But I'm probably boring you now. I have to remember that I'm on the Overnightscape Underground now. This is where people talk about real things. They don't talk crap like I do on my other place. I have to limit myself. Note to future self, fade this out and go into the next segment as soon as possible. I don't know if any of you foreigners have ever heard of Biros, have you? Biros is basically it's a local brand name for ballpoint pens. People call them Biros here. It's like the stationary equivalent of the Hoover. I don't know if any of you foreigners have heard of Hoovers. They're called vacuum cleaners, but Hoover is a brand name. They're a bit like Biros. Biros are like Hoovers, and Hoovers are like Biros. Sure, to Christ, you've heard of one or the other. So whichever one you've heard of, it's the other thing equivalent of that, if you don't know what it is. If you haven't heard of either of those things, I'm afraid I can't help you. I don't know of any other comparable brands and sets of things to compare it with. Frankly, if you're that closed in, if you've that little knowledge of the outside world, you might as well crawl into a hole. For Christ's sake, don't bring a Hoover with you, whatever you do, or you'll die of lack of oxygen. So climb into your little hole. There's no point bringing a biro unless it's got a light on it, and just sit there for the rest of your life and be a hermit. Not that there's anything wrong with being a hermit. I'm sure some of the listeners here, some of you are hermits. As probably, I hope somewhere in this world someone has had the foresight to name their son Hermit, and they've had a hermit, noting that they've got hermit like tendencies in their genes, and there's a good chance of him growing up to be a hermit, so they'll be able to call Kermit the Hermit. I hope that's the case. If it's not, it's a wasted opportunity, because everybody, nowadays with all this gene technology, surely to Christ everybody has a good idea of what their child is going to grow up to be. Because if you take a child, you just stick it up under the microscope. Yeah, obviously you get somebody who knows about this stuff. You can't just do it yourself. You can't just get a self-help genealogy cookbook. No, cookbook, whatever you call it. You need a gene expert to do this. Yes, to go and have a look under the microscope, and you'll say, oh, I recognise that one. That's a serial killer. But there's another one there now, and that's Mother Teresa. So your child is going to be a cross between a serial killer and Mother Teresa. So chances are he'll have nothing left. He'll have no possessions. Because his friends have all stolen them, because he hangs around with a bad lot of nuns who are all criminals or something, or alleged criminals anyway, because of course you're not a criminal until you've been convicted, or unless you've been convicted of something. We've still got some rights left in this world. You can't go around branding people criminals all over the place. If you go out into the street and you see somebody crossing the road within 10 metres of a traffic light, you can't just go up to him with a big rubber stamp and stamp a tattoo on him that says convicted criminal, even if you know that he's being convicted. We have a judiciary system in this country. We don't go around, it's not like in France where the... Have you ever read the book of Catch Me If You Can? I've read the book of the film of Catch Me If You Can. The book came out first. But the book has a lot more in it than the film. And the book discusses how your man says he spent a lot of time in a French prison, and he used to throw him into a basement, and every day or two they'd come in and they'd just from underneath him and then disappear for another night, and then they'd throw it back in. Then they throw some food in at him. This wasn't depicted in the movie, because these frigging actors won't do that sort of thing. They expect to have stuntmen. They'll say, I'm not doing that, get me a stuntman. But don't let the stuntman do anything too exciting, because I don't want him or her stealing the limelight from me. Make sure you don't, whatever you do, don't show the stuntman's face, because I don't want people to think that I'm not unique, that there's another person who looks exactly like me who's a stuntman, because then that'll lower my value. It'll be like when you go to those dodgy auction houses, those mobile auction houses that turn up, and they'll say, oh, look, we've got a Sunny Sniffman. Come and see our Sunny Sniffman iPad thing. We've got one of these. It's unique. I'll auction it off now. What are my offers for this unique Sunny Sniffman? And then someone buys it for 10,000 euros. And then he says, now our next lot is another unique Sunny Sniffman. There's none other like it in the whole world. What am I bid for this Sunny Sniffman? And then, of course, somebody comes in from the BBC television watchdog programme with a camera. That's happened a couple of weeks ago. I was watching this on television. It's a television programme. Nowadays, you can still watch television programmes on the television if you have half a mind to do so. It's just a question of being in the right place at the right time. And you know where the right place to be is. It's in front of the television. So at least you've got that down. You don't think about when is the right place going to be, where is it going to be, where are you going to have to be. No, it's easy to be in the right place to watch your television programme. You just have to be in front of the freaking television. But the question of being there at the right time is a bit more complicated, but even for that they've got schedules. It's not like the internet thing where you have to sit in front of a thing and say, download this, and don't tell anybody I'm downloading it, and how long will it take? And they'll say, oh, it might take, it's going to take 23 hours. No, it's going to take 8 days. No, it's going to take 2 minutes. No, it's going to take 29 hours. No, on television, you just watch it. You sit in front of us, you get your popcorn. I've got a television that you can pause. You can come on, watch a live television programme. You say, oh, you have to get up and have a piss. And you press pause. And then you go out and you have a piss. You can't pause. Well, I can pause that. On a good day, I can pause a piss. But I don't usually have reason to. There's no... why would you want to pause a piss? There's no... Unless, I suppose, somebody rings the doorbell in the middle of us. But you're going to have to put it away and that, and zip it up and go out to them. Unless it's somebody you know, of course. Anyway, good morning.